Belief in Practice 17, The Inspiration of the Cross in Daily Life. The love of Christ in the cross is to have a continual inspiration upon us, endless love. Countless moments of re-inspiration are to come to us daily because of the cross. This is how central it is to daily life. We are to love each other in an ongoing way, as Christ loved us in his death in that once-off act. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 17. The combination of the present and aorist tenses of agapan, to love, in these verses proves the point. Thus, our obedience to Christ in loving each other is exemplified by the obedience of Christ. John chapter 15, verse 10. Quite simply, something done 2,000 years ago really does affect us now. There is a powerful link across the centuries, from the darkness of the cross to the lives we live today in the 21st century. By his knowledge, by knowing Christ as he was there, we are made righteous. Isaiah 53, verse 11. As Israel stood before Moses, they promised, "All the words which the Lord has spoken will we do." When Moses then sprinkled the blood of the covenant upon them, and this incident is quoted in Hebrews as prophetic of the Lord's blood, they said the same, but more strongly, "All the words which the Lord has spoken will we do and be obedient." Exodus 24, verses 3 and 7. It was as if their connection with the blood inspired obedience. Likewise, the communication of God's requirements was made from over the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, Exodus 25, verse 22, another foretaste of the blood of Christ. Quite simply, we can't face the cross of Christ and not feel impelled towards obedience to that which God asks of us. The image of soldiers in their time of dying has often been used afterwards as a motivation for a nation. "Earn this," is the message their faces give. And it is no more true than in the death of the Lord. The love of Christ, an idea elsewhere used of his death, John chapter 13, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, Romans 8, verses 32, 34 and 35, Ephesians 5, verses 2 and 25, Galatians 2, verse 20, Revelation 1, verse 5, and compare 1 John 4, verse 10, constrains us. It doesn't force us, but rather shuts us up into one way, as in a narrow, walled path. We cannot sit passively before the cross of the Lord. That love of Christ there passes our human knowledge, and yet our hearts can be opened, as Paul prayed, that we might know the length, breadth, and height of it. The crucified Son of God was the full representation of God. The love of Christ was shown in his cross, and through God's enlightenment, we can know the height, length, breadth of that love. Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19. Nothing, whatever, not even life, our sins and dysfunctions of human life, can separate us from the love of Christ towards us in his death. Romans 8, verse 35. His cross is therefore the constant rallying point of our faith in whatever difficulty we live through. The resolve and strength we so need in our spiritual path can come only through a personal contemplation of the cross. Do we seek strength to endure unjust treatment and the grace to submit cheerfully to the loss of what we feel is rightfully ours? Be it discrimination in the workplace, persecution from the government, perceived abuse or degradation by our partner or family, let the cross be our endless inspiration. For it is better, if the will of God be so, a reference to the Lord's struggle in Gethsemane being our struggle, that you suffer for well-doing, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Remember how, under persecution, the faithful love not their lives to death, because of their experience of the blood of the Lamb shed for them. Revelation 12, verse 11.
Or do we live in the loneliness of old age or serious illness, fearing death and the uncertainty of our brief future? Again, the cross of Jesus is our rallying point, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 to 10. Because we are in Christ, his death was not an isolated historical event. We also are weak with him. 2 Corinthians 13:4. Such is the identity between us and him. When Paul reflected upon his own sickness, which the Revised Version margin calls his stake or cross in the flesh, he could say in all sober truth that he gloried in his weakness, because his identity with the weakness of Christ crucified also thereby identified him with the strength and power of the risen Lord. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 9. Do we feel that life is just pointless? An endless round of childcare, working all day, doing in essence the same job for 30 years, a trudging through an endless tunnel until our mortality catches up on us? We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ from the empty way of life handed down from the fathers, 1 Peter 1 verse 18, from the frustration of this present life. The word used for empty is that used by the Septuagint for the emptiness of life as described in Ecclesiastes and for idol worship in Leviticus 17:7 and Jeremiah 8 verse 19. We have been redeemed from it all. Not for us the life of endlessly chasing the rainbow's end, slavishly worshipping the idols of ever bigger homes, smarter technology. We were redeemed from the vanity or emptiness of life under the sun by the precious blood of Christ. We were bought out of this slavery, even if in the flesh we go through its motions. Knowing this, we, the redeemed, the bought out from emptiness, shouldn't spend our hours in front of the television or doing endless crosswords or frittering away the time of life as the world does. James foresaw that a man could appear to be religious and yet have a religion that was worthless. James 1, verse 26. Because he didn't appreciate that the cross had brought him out of this vanity or emptiness. His death was so that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1, verse 4. Because of the Lord's crucifixion, Paul saw himself as crucified to the world and the world to him. Galatians 6, verse 14. The Lord Jesus looked out across the no man's land between the stake and the crowd. He faced the world which crucified him. We simply cannot side with them. To not separate from them is to make the cross in vain or worthless for us. For he died to deliver us out of this present world. The pull of the world is insidious, and only sober reflection upon the cross will finally deliver us from it. It's a terrifying thought that we can make the power of the cross invalid. It really is so, for Paul warned that preaching the gospel with wisdom of words would make the cross of Christ of no effect. 1 Corinthians 1:17. The effect of the cross, the power of it to save, is limited in its extent by the manner of our preaching of it, and we can make Christ, that is, his cross, of no effect by trusting to our works rather than accepting the gracious salvation which he achieved. Galatians 5:4. Do we feel simply not appreciated? As a hassled and harried mother, as a hard-working dad who toils to provide for the family he rarely sees, as the person who feels their ideas and abilities are always trashed, the tragedy of the Lord's death was that when he died, there was nobody to recount his life as there usually was at a funeral. Isaiah 53, verse 8. The greatest life that was ever lived was so misunderstood and unappreciated and hated and hurriedly buried that there was nobody even to give him an appreciative funeral speech. In our struggle to feel appreciated, we share both his and his father's sufferings and pain. The cross was the ultimate example of a man being misjudged and misunderstood and condemned unjustly. When we feel like that, and the nature of our high-speed, superficially judging society means that it seems to happen more in this generation than in any other, and with deeper consequences, then we know we are sharing the sufferings of the Lord. Are we just caught up in our daily work, slave to the corporations who employ us? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23 begs us not to become the slaves of men, because Christ bought us with his blood. Young people especially need to be influenced by this as they choose their career path and employers. Through the cross of Christ, the world is crucified to us. Galatians 6, verse 14.
Do we struggle to live the life of true love, to endure people, even our brethren? Are we simply tired of people and living the life of love towards them? Does the past exist within us as a constant fountain of bitterness and regret? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God for Christ's sake, that is, the sake of his cross, has forgiven you. Walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 5, verse 2. His cross affects our whole life, our deepest thought and action, to the extent that we can say with Paul, in the silence of our own deepest and most personal reflection, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Do we find a true unity with our brethren impossible? He died that he might gather together into one all God's children. John 11, verse 52. Before his cross, before serious and extended personal meditation upon it, all our personal differences will disappear. A divided ecclesia is, therefore, one which is not centred upon the cross. Whether or not we must live our church experience in such a context, the barriers which exist within us personally really can be brought down by the humbling experience of the cross, and the way in which we are forced to see how that death was not only for us personally. The wonder of it was, and is, in its universal and so widely inclusive nature. Is humility almost impossible for us, lifted up as we may be by our own sense of worth and achievement? Is a true service of all our brethren almost impossible for us to contemplate? Consider Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, just as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This is our pattern, to give out with no expectation of appreciation or response. And the cross of Christ alone can inspire us in this. Do we struggle with some secret vice in the grip of habitual sin? The cross convicts of sin, for we are impelled by it to follow Christ in going forth outside the camp. Hebrews 13, verse 13. Following the path of the leper who had to go forth outside the camp. Leviticus 13, verse 46. He, his own self, bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, as the Greek has it, and live to righteousness. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He died for our sins. There, all our weakness met their death in his death. So close was the association between him and our sins. Our response to that is to put those sins to death in our bodies, as he put them to death in his on the tree. Speaking of the cross, the Lord said that for our sakes he sanctified himself, as a priest making an offering, that we might be sanctified in truth. John 17, verse 19. Quite simply, if we behold and believe the cross, we will respond. He mused that if he didn't allow himself to fall to the ground and die, no fruit could be brought forth. John 12, verse 24. The fact he did means that we will bring forth fruit. It could be that the reference in John 7 to the Holy Spirit being given at the Lord's death, his glory, as symbolized by the water flowing from his side, means that due to the cross we have the inspiration to a holy, spiritual way of life. It is not so that his death released some mystical influence which would change men and women, whether or not they will. Rather is it that his example there inspires those who are open to it.